Scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 17. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have guests with us. We're glad that you're here. If you're looking for a church home, I hope you found it. I think you have. It's beginning of the year, and we have been looking at a number of subjects that I believe are fundamental. Last week, we talked about there only being one way to be saved, only one way through Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to look at the subject of the Bible, its foundation. We've been starting going through reading in chronological order. We want to continue to do that as we move on and we complete Genesis and move into the book of Exodus. We want to continue to remain steadfast in that. This morning, we're going to cover a very important subject, why we believe in the Bible. I like having little simple answers in my pocket, you know, when I'm talking, I'm in a conversation with somebody and saying, why do you believe the Bible? And why is it? I think the simplest answer is going to be is, I believe Jesus. I believe in who he is. I believe in his identity. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose from the dead. And I believe his words are recorded. They must be kept. And so I believe in the Bible and I believe in the scriptures. And very important, and the passage we had read for us this morning very much ties into that, to the significance of the scriptures. We're going to talk about the usefulness of the Bible this morning, and we want to, again, talk about why we believe it. So most people find something is true when their experiences and emotions are supported by reliable sources. Well, let's think about that for a minute. Usually it's, what do I believe in? Well, I was raised this way. My parents taught me this. I consider them as reliable sources. And this is what I experienced. And my emotion, my heart are a part of it. So I believe what they told me. But if that's in the context of growing up in a denominational church or in another religion, is it right? All because, you know, we believe something doesn't necessarily make it right. And some people might come to the Bible and say, how do I know that it is true? Why do I believe in it? On the other hand, someone might apply the same thing and say, well, I believe something is true because of what I experienced when I grew up in this church. And I had certain emotions that went with it. A different church, not one in the Bible, but my heart was with it, and I trusted the leaders of that church, whether they're called priests or pastors or whatever, and therefore I believe in it. That doesn't make it right. I want, of course, as Christians, we want to be a part of the church that Christ bought and established, that he built. And as we look at this, I want to think about why we believe and what we believe, and why should I believe in the Bible? You know, Jesus said, you believe in me. If you listen to things that I say, you'll know that it's not from my authority. But if you just listen to them, you can understand and come to know that I'm telling you the truth in John 7 and verse 17. And I think that is fundamental. I listen to Jesus and I hear him say what he says here in Matthew 24. It's in Mark 13 and Luke 21 as well. Same event, same time period where Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Or some translations say, my words will never pass away. Those are the words of Jesus. Well, where are his words? Well, I know where I can find them in the scriptures, in the gospels. In John 6:63, Jesus says it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. And the words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. You have a lot of people going around today saying, I got my own personal relationship with God. I've got my own spiritual life. I'm a very spiritual person. Well, where does Jesus fit into that? Well, I know he's a nice guy and all, but I don't really know much about him. But the truth is, you don't really have a spiritual life unless you know Jesus and his words that are spirit and life. And so this would be, if I broke it down, there's about 4 points in this lesson, reasons, simple reasons why we believe in the Bible. And the first one is, we trust Jesus. We trust in Jesus Christ that he died for us. And thus we trust the sources that present him, those books that teach us, the gospels that teach us his words. In fact, all of the teaching throughout the New Testament is from his Spirit. In the Old Testament, he confirms as well in Luke 24, 44, that those things came from God and the revelation from him as well. So if I believe in Christ, I'm going to believe in the Bible and scriptures. When Jesus had to address authority and present what God said, he would quote scripture. He would present scripture, he would speak by revelation, and that is how he proclaimed the truth. But a lot of people today, he didn't do this. He didn't say, well, the priest over at the temple say this, or the rabbi at the synagogue down the street that everybody likes says that. That wasn't his authority. His authority was God. It was his word. It was scripture. It was the Bible. And so in believing Jesus, I believe the Bible. Now, some people doubt and they question the scriptures. You know, when I was a teenager, I did that. I wondered about it. I said, how can I trust these things? I remember coming home and having a conversation with my dad one day and said, Dad, my teacher says that the world is billions of years old and that we evolved from monkeys. And Dad said, no, that's not what the Bible says. And I was thinking, well, Dad, I think my teacher's smarter than you are. So I started thinking like that. And I had doubts when I was even in fourth grade, 10, 11 years old. And then as I grew in middle school and as a teenager. And so what was it that's going to be an anchor for my faith? And so number one, I would emphasize again this morning, of all the things that are going to be presented and why you should believe the Bible, it's because you believe in Jesus and what he taught. That when you hear his teachings, you know that those teachings cannot come to any normal, regular man. This must come from God and from the Creator. He's telling the truth. He's honest and sincere. He died on the cross for what he proclaimed. Some people doubt. We're going to address that a little bit this morning, a little bit further, about what is that doubt. Because of Jesus, I believe the Bible is God's revelation of all truth to humanity. Because of him, I believe that every bit. It comes from him. It's revealed by him. It comes from the Holy Spirit revealing all truth. And Jesus said in John 14, as he talked to his apostles in John 16, 12, and 13, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to guide you into all truth. In John 14 and verse 26, Jesus said to his apostles, I'm going to bring you into remembrance of all things, everything that I've taught you. You ever wondered about that? As a kid, I used to think, how did these guys remember all this stuff about Jesus' life? I can't even remember my vocabulary words for my test on Friday. But they experienced this. They lived it. They knew Jesus. And so Matthew, as he wrote, and John, as he wrote, and as Mark would write with reference to Peter, and as Luke had eyewitnesses, he says in Luke chapter 1, 1 through 3, they wrote down these God's will. They wrote down what people experienced when they lived with Jesus. We see this about the Bible. It's one united message. The Bible is still the number one bestseller. It's also the number one most likely book in your house to gather dust. It's probably the most likely book you use as a reference book where you only open up once in a while and look at this or that. A lot of people treat Bibles like it's a holy relic. They keep it in their house to protect them from bad things that can happen. And that's not the purpose of the Bible. However, it's still the number one bestseller. And when people actually do open it and read it, it changes lives and it changes the world and it changes people. It has changed the world. Christ has his words, and the Bible has certainly done that. You got 40 men writing these scriptures over 1,600 years. I remember a few years ago, I sat down and said, I want to count this out and make sure that it's 40. I've been told this my whole life. So I counted through the Old Testament and the name writers for 32. And I counted through the New Testament, the name writers were 8. And then I did the math, and it came out to 40. And it makes sense from Moses down to the Apostle John. Moses, in about 1,500 B.C., started writing Genesis, the Pentateuch, the beginning of the Bible, and then down to the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, about the end of the first century, as most believe. I'd put it a little bit earlier. But anyways, about that time period is about 1,600 years, or 1,570-something. But pretty close. 1,600 years, and it's the same message. It's the same God from Genesis to Revelation. Can you imagine that happening today? You imagine a book being written like that today? You don't have science books written like that today. You imagine a book that is 3,500 years old, a science book, a history book, any kind of book, a book that governs a land, some law, some constitution, anything for any nation in any period of time in history that has gone for 1,600 years without being changed. There isn't one. Textbooks are changing all the time. We wouldn't use a textbook from 100 years ago to teach most classes today. They're always changing, constantly changing, but the Bible never changed. One united message. Why do believers need the Bible? And so some people might think like this, the Bible is so much in it, so much to read, so much to bring in. They might be thinking, why not just like a creed, a statement? Why not just give me a list of what I need to do and then a confession of faith? That's what a lot of people like. That's what a lot of different churches have become. Well, as long as you go by this prayer book or you say this creed or you make this confession, everything's fine and people don't need to read anymore. They say their church leaders will read for them and tell them what the Bible says. They want it to be simpler, but that's not what God has given us. He's given us something greater, something more wonderful. Now, in the Bible, one of the things that proves the Bible is also that within the Bible are other sources. You have confessions of faith in Philippians 2, Colossians 1, 1 Corinthians 15 that predate the Bible that are very, very early, confirming that the earliest Christians and what they believe. Scholars no longer debate over that. They used to. No, now it's, what did the first Christians believe? Well, they believed Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead from the very beginning when the church began. No doubt on that. Now, I want to look at this morning, if you have your Bible and you heard our reading this morning, open your Bible. Look with me again at 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 17. I know that many of us are very familiar with these last two verses, but we want to keep it in context as well. And here's a part of that context. And it's this. Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's saying, look at what's going to happen in the last days. He even starts describing at the beginning of chapter 3. He says, but understand this, and in the last days will come times of difficulty. People will become lovers of self, lovers of money. They'll be proud and arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. It is in that context that Paul says, what's the answer to this? What are we going to do about the false teaching and the errors and these problems that continue to happen? Now Romans 2 says that God's given us a natural law. And on some basic level, we know right from wrong. We know don't steal, don't hurt others, don't murder, don't do those specific things. But the Bible has more to say. And even if God were to put us in a paradise and give us one command, not to eat of a tree, man can even keep that commandment. What do we need? We need our God. We need revelation. We need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. We need the one who would come and crush the head of the serpent. And it is through him that we have revelation to correct us. We need a moral corrective in the Bible. We need an answer to all this corruption that's going on. Paul says, here's your answer, the Bible. In fact, in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, here's more of that context. He says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So what is the answer to this? What does Paul give his instruction to Timothy to tell all the churches? Go to the Bible. Go to the Scriptures. Look at what the Bible is. So let's take a look at that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. He says, everyone who seeks to live a godly life, they're going to be persecuted. He says, evil people and imposters will increase. They'll become worse. They'll be deceiving people, and they'll be deceived themselves. And this is what Paul has to say to Timothy. But as for you, verse 14, continue in what you have learned, and have firmly believed, knowing whom you have learned it, and how from your childhood you had been acquainted with the sacred writings, that's the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So I believe in Jesus. I'm going to follow the Scriptures. And then he says this. He says every Scripture, all Scripture, is breathed out by God. Some translations say inspired. The Greek word literally means this is God's word spoken out. It's his breath. That's what Scripture is. His breath. The breath of God. And what's the Bible for? Well, it's for every good work, for practice, and it's for every doctrine we need, every teaching. Doctrine and practice. Our beliefs and everything we do. Listen to what he says. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So I believe Christ, I believe the Scriptures, and I believe the Scriptures are God's breath and gives me everything that I need. As we look in the Bible, we've seen this, noted it already. All truth has been revealed to the apostles and prophets. Where is that truth? Where is every teaching I need? Where is every good deed that I need to do to be complete? According to the Bible, it's right here from the apostles and prophets. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul even says that. He says, the things that I'm speaking to you, I speak so that you will understand that they're from the apostles and prophets' revelation written in Scripture. Ephesians 3, 3 through 5. The Bible tells us as well, we can see how complete the Bible is. The Bible warns us, do not add or take away from it. And here's the truth. There's no other good deed we can add to the Bible. There's no other step to salvation. There's no other act of worship. There's nothing else we can add to church leadership. It is perfect and complete, and we can stand on it. The Bible's reliable. It's the most reliable ancient document there is. Nothing even comes close to it. The Iliad is an ancient pagan writing. The Greeks and the Romans looked at the Iliad as their Old Testament. They looked at Plato's writings like their New Testament. There are 1,500 manuscripts, either whole writings or pieces of them, not even coming close to the original time when they were written for the Iliad. That's the only book that comes close to the Bible. For the Bible, you have 5,800 Greek manuscripts in part or in whole. They start from the 4th century. We have whole copies of the Bible. We can assemble the whole New Testament together just by reading early church writers from the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century. I've read them. I can say that is absolutely true. Scholars say the same thing. You can put the whole of the New Testament together. And if someone comes along and says, how do you know that after 2,000 years it hasn't been corrupted or changed? We have writings from every single century. We have copies going all the way back to the 4th century, handwritten. We have 100 other manuscripts even before then. Even when they find just a piece of John or Mark and they can read it, you've got to say, well, this is from Mark 6. So, and every part of it is just what we have today. What does that say about the rest of Mark 6? The rest of Mark 6 must be there too. What about the rest of the Gospel of Mark? It must be there too. What about the Gospels that they were collected with? It must be there too. There's no reason to question the Bible. And I would add to this, as we believe Jesus and we believe the Bible, Jesus is infallible. He is sinless. He is without error. He is inerrant in himself and the things that he says. Therefore, his words are. And if Jesus' words are infallible, inerrant, and he is sinless, the Bible is too. And that's my basis of belief. The Bible is inerrant and perfect in what we need. And this morning I also emphasize this. Some people think, well, I think the Bible should be easier to read. Well, Paul says in Ephesians 3, I wrote these things so you may understand them. But Peter then said about Paul's writing, some things are hard to understand. That tells me something. I can understand it, even though sometimes it's hard to understand. That means I need to study it. It takes effort. I've got to read it. The Bible's not written for me to just read it once and put it down and say, okay, it's done. It's for me to read it and to think about it and to contemplate it and to understand it. In the ancient world, the more complex your book was, the smarter they thought you were. Today, we want everything simple. Just give me the points. Just tell me very simply what it is. But the background in the ancient world, that's what they thought. And the Bible seems a balance for us today to understand and to contemplate. I think this is very important this morning before we start to wrap up. Some people think there are contradictions in the Bible. That's always in the eye of the beholder. Just like beauty or any other comment we might say as far as that. When you look at the Bible and you want to see contradictions, you will. I see people pick up the Quran or these other ancient books, which I do believe have contradictions in them, but I don't think you can persuade someone who believes in those texts that there are contradictions in them. Why? Because they think it's true. They think it's in harmony. And it's a matter of whether you believe Jesus and believe the Bible. If you believe Jesus and the Bible, you're going to see a harmony. You're going to see it all fitting together. If you come to the Bible and you interpret it in a way that you reject it, you're showing that you are being dishonest with it. And it's not a right way to come to it. We want to come saying, is this Jesus the Son of God? Yes, he is. Is he sinless? Yes, he is. Are his words divine and from God? Yes, they are. Are they recorded? Yes. Therefore, I believe the Bible. Believe what Christ said about the Bible. Skeptics question the Bible, and they come up with all these different possible alternatives. But I want us to step away from that. So many times I've talked to Christians, I'm doubting, because it's possible this happened. But we can go down a whole list. We can make up 100 things about possible things about the Bible if we don't like it. You know, people have said it's possible that aliens gave us the Bible. Well, it's possible, but it's not probable. In fact, it's not even reasonable. When we start thinking about it, don't ask the question, well, it's possible this and possible that. That kind of leads to a form of insanity. It does. I've heard people say, I don't know about this at my house. If I leave my toaster plugged in, my house might burn down. It's possible. Well, it is possible, but it's not probable. It's not reasonable. I don't want to drive over high bridges because I think that might collapse. Well, that's possible, but it's not probable. When we come to the Bible, what is probable? The truth is, I read Jesus, I believe him, I believe the Bible. That is what is most probable. The best explanation is the Bible. It has the best explanation for the meaning of life while we're here. It's the only book that changes us and changes us by the message contained within it. And it has changed the world. I want you to think about this before we finish. I want to talk about the morality of the Bible. If you were to take what the Bible has changed in you, Christians, all those good things that has been changed in you, and you take those good things and put them aside, who would you be today? Everything Jesus said that has changed you and made you a better person, and you remove them and out of your mind and just lived however you wanted, who would you be? I've never heard someone say, you know, after I quit believing and I quit reading and I quit being a part of the church and fellowship and studying God's word, I became a better person. Never heard it. Never heard a person say, since I became an atheist, a skeptic, a doubter, or any other religion, I became a better person. You never hear that. It's because the Bible has the greatest morals. Over and over again, you hear people quote on the news and say it's better to give than to receive, not knowing they're quoting from Jesus. So we look at these morals. More blessed to give than to receive. Do as you would have others do to you. Forgive rather than judge and condemn others. Invite the lame, the poor, the blind to feast. Turn the other cheek and go the extra mile. Love your enemies. All of that from Christ. You're not going to find a greater, more moral system. On that, we have every reason to believe. The Bible has the highest and the purest moral values. As we finish this morning, look at this passage here. Peter talks about the scriptures, just as the psalmist did, that God's word is a lamp unto our feet. And he said, when he was up on the mountain, when saw Jesus transfigured, Peter did, with James and John, he said, we heard the voice of God, but now we have a more confirmed prophetic word from God, more fully confirmed. And this is what Peter said. We have the prophetic word, more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in the dark place. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from one's own interpretation. Men weren't simply listening or thinking and writing down. They were being instructed directly from God. For no prophecy ever was produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do as Christians is because we believe in the Bible, and we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe in his words, and we believe that it is perfect and complete. That's what we believe. And brethren, we need to be confirming that. We need to be proclaiming it. As Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you on the day of judgment. I don't want to be that person. Uphold God's word. It's beautiful, right, and true. And everything we do is on the fact that it is infallible, inerrant, perfect, and complete. This morning, if you're not a Christian, become one. James chapter 1 verse 21, it says that the implanted word is able to save souls. The scripture says that the new covenant in Jeremiah 31 is to be written on our hearts. This morning, read the scriptures. Let them be written on your heart. And if you believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead, today you can conform to that gospel. You can repent of your sins, having already confessed your faith that Jesus rose from the dead. You can be buried in the waters of baptism, rise up in the newness of life, have all your sins washed away. And this morning, if you have fallen and you've been struggling with your faith in scriptures, I'd love to talk to you more. There are others here who'd love to pray with you. Whatever your needs may be, we encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.